You know, the great preacher of yesteryear, Martin Lloyd Jones, he was a doctor. He was a minister to a doctor to the prime minister. He left that job and went to a small little parish in northern Wales. And people would say, "Why would you do that? Take such a step down." He says, "I didn't take a step down. I took a step up." He said, "Anytime you preach the Word of God, you're doing the most important thing that you could ever do." And I recognize this morning. And I'll try to do the best I can. God knows I'm not going to be perfect, but that doesn't keep me from trying. Pray with me. Father, these people don't need to hear from a man. They need to hear from you. But you've chosen that frail way of taking us humans and giving us the gospel and asking us to convey it. So because you've chose that method, I ask that you come this morning. Send your Spirit to open our hearts and our minds this morning so we can know what you want to say to us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you want to do that more than we want to receive it. Thank you that you're a God that desires to communicate with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay. I'm going to talk to you this morning about rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's talking to Timothy, his disciple, and that was in his instruction that he gave him. In the history of the church, if you study the heresies in the church, that when they had a heresy, they had a council, like Trent and Nicaea and all these. They had a problem. And so they addressed the problem. But what happened is they addressed this problem, but in the solutions they brought a problem on the other side. Happens all the time in the business world. You see a problem. We got to fix this problem. So they say, we do this, this, and this. And then 3 months later, you fix one problem, but you've caused another one on the other side. Balance is the key. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're told that we must do. And the first law of Bible interpretation is always, the Bible always interprets itself. One scripture needs to be compared with another scripture. If you see a scripture and then you see something that says a little different, you don't understand what those scriptures are really about. And it's very important because if we don't, we get off into excesses in the body of Christ. And that's always not healthy for us. Did we move on? Okay. In relation to healing, today, we're polarized. You have the cessationist who believe that miracles have ended after the apostles left. Obviously, we don't believe that. Then you have, on the other side, the Pentecostals and the charismatics. Now, this church was formed, I don't want to make I don't know what the word I want. I wasn't here when this church first started. I came the second year. But it was a lot of charismatic people, right? People that come from other churches that had been experiencing the move of the Spirit, gifts, healings, baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's the origin of this church, I think, anyway. You people who are there the first year, you know, maybe you correct me on that. I don't know. But obviously, there's a polarization here. The cessationist, miracles stopped. We don't believe that. But yet there are some Pentecostals that maybe they don't come right out and say it, but they'll say, if you're not healed, it's because of your lack of faith. That's an excess. You can't justify that about what all the Bible says. How many of you remember Catherine Kuhlman? Okay. She came to, I lived in Pittsburgh, well, right outside of Pittsburgh, and she came to a Presbyterian church once a month in Pittsburgh, and we used to go occasionally to these services. Most amazing thing you would ever see. She'd get up there and said, only believe. She didn't even pray for people. Only believe. People would start getting up out of their wheelchairs, throwing their crutches down. I mean, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But the press would ask her, you know, a lot of these people left here without their wheelchairs. What about the people who didn't throw their crutches down and leave their wheelchairs? What about those? She went to her death saying, I don't know. I don't know. She says, one thing I do know, I think it's a sin to tell someone who's honestly trying and believing for healing that it's their fault that they're not healed. That's an excess. Either way is wrong. I believe there's a third alternative. I call it being a Christian. Okay? The Bible says the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments is everlasting. The sum of your word. Not one part of the word with the exclusion of the other part of the word, but all of God's word. You know the JWs? Jehovah's Witnesses will come to your door. They'll show you in the Bible why they believe what they believe. But to do that, they have to believe that without everything else. Well, maybe not everything else, but whatever else is in the Bible. You can prove just about anything if you want to from the Bible, but not the whole Bible. Not if you take the sum of God's Word. And that's what we do. I'm a charismatic. Okay? Or, as people used to call us, crazymatics. Charismaniacs. But I've seen excesses. And excesses are not good. Like the prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. Or as we used to say, blab it and grab it. We heard, speak the word of faith. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. But not in every situation and for everybody to do as they teach. If you do, then you're going to start to have faith in faith instead of faith in God, the sovereign God who sometimes says no. We don't like that, do we? Did you like it when your parents told you no? Absolutely not. But you saw why they did. Mark Twain once said when he was 13 years old, he thought his parents were so stupid. When he grew up and became 20, he was amazed how smart they had become in 7 short years. And that's how it is. God always does the right thing. But because we don't see that. And sometimes it's not just anything selfish. It's something that really seems right that we should have. But God knows best. I always have to push this and look because I guess I don't believe it's going to come up. All right. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I look at the dichotomy that I talked about swinging one way or another, is because we swing one way in relation to the Word and the Spirit, or truth and the Spirit, and you have to have both. You remember this, portion of Scripture? It was the woman at the well. You remember that? She was a Samaritan. And she says to Jesus, who said, well, you know, our people say we worship on this mountain. And the Jews, they worship on the mountain in Jerusalem. What's right, Lord? Now, you remember, the Jews were very intellectual. The Samaritans were very visceral, feeling-oriented. Do you know he doesn't take sides? He says you must worship God in spirit and in truth. Anytime you eliminate one over the other, or have an excess on one or another, you have a problem. Because Jesus said you have to have the Word and the Spirit and the truth. And there always needs to be a dynamic balance between the Spirit and the truth. Or if you don't, you have excesses that come about on each side. You cannot divide who you are and how you worship. Ezekiel, on that picture there, on the very day that they sacrificed their children to idols, they boldly came into the temple to worship. They came in and defiled my house. You know why they defiled it? Because they were not living what they said they were doing in the temple. You can't do that. I attended a charismatic church in the Pittsburgh area after I first got saved. And it was a church that had great worship, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, all the things happening. And I'd be sitting there, and I wanted to weep. I looked around everybody else was having a good time, and I wanted to weep. This went on for several weeks. It got to the place I thought I was losing my mind. So I went to the pastor. I said, Pastor. I described to him what I was going through. He sort of looked at me out of the corner of his eye and says, why do you think that is like that? I said, I don't know. I thought you was going to tell me. So I left and I went to at that time I was going back to YWAM. About a month or two later, we got a call from the youth pastor in that church. That pastor ran off with the organist. He didn't go one day and say, let's go. That happens over time. God was weeping when everybody else was praising. I don't know why he picked me, but he did. And I believe when he looked at me out of the corner of his eye, he knew exactly why I was weeping. Some people say that anytime someone starts to go south, God will try to intervene. And I think he tried to. I was clueless. I had no idea of what God was trying to do. They say you can't divide who you are from how you worship. You just can't. How did Jesus heal? You know, there's almost no time where you see Jesus praying for someone in the New Testament. Do you know why? Because he just did the healing. He had all authority. And he touched people, and he did all that. Jesus had absolute authority to heal. We do not have absolute, we have authority, and we have the command to pray for people. But it's Jesus that heals people. You can't heal anybody. And if you think you can, probably you're on the way to some kind of thing that's not scriptural. In preparation for this, I was listening to a guy who's a professor at Asbury Cemetery. I didn't try to say that. I really didn't. But Asbury is a pretty good seminary. You know, there were, that's where they had the revival, you know, Asbury. And he has a healing ministry on the side. He said, when you have a healing ministry, you're never in management, just in sales. You don't decide who God heals. God decides that. We need to be obedient, and sometimes it's because of our lack of faith, but not always. Some would tell you that it is. He also said on the other side of that, the reason we don't pray for people is we're afraid they're not going to be healed. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to pray. His responsibility is to do the healing in His will and in His time. How did He heal? Power methods. Jesus touched people. He spoke healing. The power healing was the most visible and probably the most important, because you know what was the reason for it? It was confirming who He was. He was confirming that the Word was true. Signs and wonders. And many ministries today do evangelism by signs and wonders, confirming what they're saying. Because if God does a miracle, it's very hard for people to not understand that there's something there, that it's just not words.